As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. So, looking today at this, the theme of resurrection, and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there are 10 different affirmations, 10 different points that we're going to be covering in 10 weeks. I mean, it's going to take me a little more than 10 weeks. Not because I talk for so long, but because there are other things that are coming up, all age services and all sorts of things, Pentecost services and things in the meantime. But there are 10 different things that I'll mention to you, I'll remind you of in just a second. Now, questions. I recognize that sometimes it's good to ask questions. You'll be sitting there, some of you making notes of the points and things that I say, and you'll be thinking, well, I'd love to ask a question, have an opportunity to do that. So what I've done, I put my email address, church email address, minister@evesham-baptist-church.org, down there. And what this means is that you can send questions to that email address following the service today. You may even be able to do it during the service. Yeah? I don't know. You might be able to do that. It's a good thing I haven't got my phone on me. Otherwise, it would be pinging, you know, with questions or comments. You could send encouraging comments as well. That would be a good thing. Okay? Now, my hope is that if people do send questions about what we look at this week, then at the beginning of next week's sermon, be able to say, okay, these are some of the questions. May not be able to answer them all. I may not be able to answer any of them, but we can have a go. So that's an opportunity. Is that okay? Yeah? So if you don't want to ask any questions, that's fine. But just aware that sometimes people say, you know, I'd really like to explore this further. So send your questions. I'll put the email address up at the end as well, so that you can do that. So be thinking about, okay, do I understand this? Is there, I recognize that I could easily be saying stuff and you just think, I haven't the foggiest clue what that means. It sounds great, but I don't know what it means. I recognize I could be saying things and you think, well, how about this or that? Or how does that verse tie in or whatever? And it's just your opportunity to feedback and to, we can together work it out. Okay, so 10 different weeks. This is just to remind us of where we're going in the next 10 weeks. Resurrection reveals the power of God's love, breaks the power of sin and death, confirms that Jesus is Lord, anticipates the gift of the Holy Spirit, vindicates the teaching of Jesus, vindicates the life of Jesus, challenges the powers and authorities, affirms the body and the stuff of creation, affirms the place of women. Resurrection is the good news. Okay, you may have questions about some of those, but you just have to come along and listen to it. I might answer your question in terms of what I say. but there's an opportunity there to think ahead. Okay, but this week, this is what we're going to be looking at. Resurrection reveals the power of God's love. Resurrection reveals the power of God's love. Now, God's love and the power of God's love, it has become for me a key element of my journey of faith. The verse, what is the verse I quote more than any other? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Yeah, you know it. You're just not responding. Is it too warm or something? You know. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Because I recognize that in terms of my faith journey, my faith, my trust in God ebbs and flows. It's very much like the sea. You know, the tide coming in and going out. Sometimes it feels as though my faith, my trust in God is real. Sometimes it feels as though my faith, my trust in God is alive and I'm passionate about God and passionate about everything that he has called me to. And I just love God and it's great. But other times it feels as though the sea has gone out. And, you know, I imagine here, you know, Weston-super-Mare. If you've ever been to the seaside, and if you pick the wrong time of day, you just begin to wonder, where is, you know, it's kind of, it's my. Sometimes it feels like that for me, and it may feel like that for you. And because of this sense of ebbing and flowing, of sometimes trusting, sometimes not trusting, sometimes having so, you know, deeply profound questions that I can't find answers to and so on. What I've sought to do in my own journey of faith is say, what can I be sure about? What can I depend upon? What can I rely upon? And it is my own meditations and reflections and reading of the Bible. That verse, give thanks to the Lord. What can I be sure about? Because he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So no matter whether the sea of faith is in or out, doesn't matter what's happening, it's about God's love. And I can trust in that. And each one of us, we can trust in that love. And we know so much about God's love and what God's love is like simply through reading the Bible. As we read through the Bible, we discover that God's love is an everlasting love. God's love does not end. Jeremiah spoke God's word to the people of Israel. It was at a time when the people of Israel didn't really want to know about God at all. I guess they enjoyed having God as their God, but they didn't want to interact with God. They didn't want to walk in relationship with God. And Jeremiah speaks the word of God and says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've called you to myself with cords of loving kindness. But then adds, but you would have none of it. You know, staggering words from Jeremiah. But the Bible reminds us that God's love is everlasting. It never ends. God's word reminds us that God's word reminds us that God's love is faithful and trustworthy. God's love endures forever. It never fails. It is utterly dependent, even if we cannot see it or experience it. God's word reminds us and encourages us to understand that love is at the essence of life. God's love is at the essence of life. When the Lord Jesus was asked about eternal life, he responded by saying, okay, what do you think? That's a great teacher thing to do. What do you think? You know, I don't know if teachers do that as an educational ploy or just because they don't know the answer and they need time to think about it. You know, what do you think? And the response come back. Yeah, I know the answer to that, the man says. Love God with your heart, mind, soul and strength. And love your neighbor just as you love yourself. And the response of Jesus is telling, do this and you'll live. Do this loving. Love God. Be humble. Walk humbly before God. Know that God is real and true. Walk humbly before Him. And love your neighbor. Love whoever is in front of you, just as you love yourself. If you love in this way, and if you live in this way, then you will truly live. And Jesus reminds us in that, that love is at the essence of life. That is the point of life. And sometimes we might think, well, what is the point of life? Why am I here? And there's a good answer right there. What is the point of your life? It is to love. And to love, and to love, and to love. It's what Jesus did. And the Apostle Paul picks up this theme, of course. And we have it there in 1 Corinthians 13, where he says, look, you know, I'm sure lots of people were looking up to the Apostle Paul and his wisdom and insight and his teaching gift and so on. And I recognize some people, even as it's recorded in the Bible, you know, some people couldn't make head nor tail of Paul. You know, they really struggled with him. Did you know that? Yeah? You know, some people really struggled with what the Apostle Paul wrote, and they didn't really understand him. But in 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul is abundantly clear. Do you know, I can have all these gifts, I can do all this stuff really magnificently, but if I haven't got love, and again another telling comment, if I have not love, he says, I am nothing. I am not, and I always, you know, sometimes you can skim over the text, and you can read it almost as you think it should read. Do you know? And I used to read that as, you know, I can have all these gifts and I can do this and that and the other. And if I have not love, these things are nothing. You know, these gifts are pointless. But that's not what Paul says. He recognizes, if I haven't got love, I am nothing. I'm missing the whole point of my life. So the Bible reminds us that God's love is everlasting. It is faithful. It is true. It is dependable. God's word reminds us that His love is at the essence of life. It is the point of life itself. But God's word also reminds us that love is not something that is in some way cocooned all by itself. And we can say, isn't love wonderful? Love is always active. Love is passionate and it's at work all the time. Love gives way to justice, because love is always seeking justice, and justice gives way to peace. And so there is this journey from love. Where there is love, there is a hunger and a thirst for justice. That's why people who love work for justice. That's why people who love are political animals, you know. We have to get engaged. That's what love drives us to, calls us to, is justice, because we long for peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So the Bible encourages us and challenges us and teaches us about love in all sorts of ways. And these are all things, I'm telling you all sorts of things, that I'm sure you are very aware of. Now, the verses that I read a few moments ago, and let's just look at this for a second. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Let me highlight just a few phrases there. Because of His great love. That's what the writer's talking about here. Because of His great love, God, who's rich in mercy, what did God do? What does it say? Made us alive. And the writer here is talking about resurrection. And this is an extraordinary thing, because those who are reading this letter, when it was originally sent, they're not dead yet. And resurrection normally happens after death, doesn't it? I think. But he's writing to them and he's saying, but because of His great love, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive. has raised us from the dead. God has, in this great power of his love, has placed life within us. Life that we did not know or experience before has made us alive. Now notice, it is with Christ. In Ephesians in particular, there is this wonderful unity between us and Jesus. How are we to live our lives? Is it Jesus over there and we reflect on the example of Jesus and then we kind of do stuff over here? Well, the writer to the Ephesians doesn't think like that. He says, no, we do it in unity with Christ. So if Christ dies, we die. If Christ is buried, we are buried. If Christ is raised, we are raised with Christ. And it is an anticipation of our own resurrection post-death. But the key thing here is because of his great love. God is using his love to raise us to life. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you have been saved. And you remember in that passage, that phrase is repeated again. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ. Again, speaking about resurrection. And so what we can understand simply from reflecting there is love is at the heart of resurrection. Love is at the heart of resurrection. When I was growing up and I was in church listening to sermons every week, to be honest with you, this is probably a mass generalization, it's probably not fair, but I cannot remember a sermon on the resurrection. I honestly can't remember. You know, I can remember sermons on loads of other stuff. And if people wanted to talk about love, they talked about loads of other stuff, but I cannot ever remember anyone ever speaking about love being at the heart of resurrection. And that, yet this is what this passage encourages us to understand, that love, what happens in resurrection, what happens when God raises Jesus from the dead, love is right at the heart of what happens there. It could not happen without the great power that is God's love. Let's put up another passage that comes from the earlier chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, just the previous page, where the writer talks about God's incomparably great power for us who believe. What is this power? That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, what is this great power that is at work in us? It is, of course, if we've already seen, it's God's love that is at work within us. It is the essence of life. The whole point of our life is love. It's inspired and driven by love. And this great power that's at work in us is the same power, this same powerful love that raised Jesus from the dead. And so we are encouraged here to understand that it is by his great power that God raised Jesus from the dead. Okay, so love is at the heart of the resurrection, and God's resurrection power is love. Just want to pause just at this point to make a little bit of an aside. And it's to understand this about resurrection. God raised Jesus from the dead. Let's just say that together. God raised Jesus from the dead. Okay. Jesus did not raise himself from the dead. Jesus did not raise himself from the dead. I recognize some of our hymns and songs seem to hint at that. That somehow Jesus raised himself from the dead. But we need to understand and just remind ourselves, when Jesus died and was buried, he was dead. At that point, Jesus could do nothing for himself. The only thing going for Jesus was that his father loved him. That's the only thing. Yeah, do we get that? That's the only thing going for Jesus. And when you and I die, guess what the only thing going for you is? That God loves you. You have nothing else. Absolutely nothing. It is because God loves us that he has raised us up. That's what he does. So God, love is at the heart of resurrection. God's resurrection power is love. And just get to talk about power. Power. How do we think about power? Think about energy. Forcing something, causing something else to happen. Quite often we think about power, use the word, as coercive. Somebody with power can make somebody who hasn't got power do something, sometimes against their will. Why do you do that? Well, they've got power. People in power make laws. And people without power follow those laws. Why do you do it? Because the people in power told us we had to do it. We get into trouble and so on. And power, normally we think of it in terms of being something that is coercive. And yet God's love, God's resurrection power as love is, and I want to note this here, is non-coercive. It's non-coercive. That's this extraordinary nature of God's powerful love. God does not force anything to happen against their will. You know, God doesn't force us to do anything against our will. He doesn't coerce us. It's entirely because we are, you know, this is where I love those words, and I quoted them earlier. Jeremiah, is it Jeremiah 31 or 30? I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you to myself with cords of loving kindness. And there's a wooing, isn't there, in God's love, a calling, constantly just loving, 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 loving. And in the life of Jesus, we see this again and again, this wooing, this calling, loving, forgiving, responding with compassion and kindness and mercy and healing and so on, calling all the time, never coercing. And Jesus says, if anyone would be my disciple, if anyone would be a follower of Jesus, what do we need to do? Jesus says, you must take up your cross and follow me. Why did he say that? Because the way of Jesus is the way of love. It is the way of kindness and mercy. It is not coercive. It is not about forcing other people to be Christians. But it's about living in the way that Jesus lived. It's about taking up the cross and saying, okay, I'm carrying my cross and I'm going to love just as Jesus loved. I'm going to be compassionate as Jesus is compassionate. I'm going to be kind and merciful and forgiving. And I will carry on doing that just as Jesus did it. And I know that Jesus loved and loved and loved, and ultimately they killed him for loving and loving and loving. And I will take up my cross now, and I will carry on loving and loving and loving, even if they kill me for it. And that is the way that Jesus calls people. If anyone would come after me, let them take up their cross and follow me. And it's this understanding, this extraordinary awareness that God's powerful love is non-coercive. It does not force. Now, I've pondered on this. You know, do I understand it? No, I don't. You know, sometimes, any of you ever watch Casualty? Yeah. Do you know? I've not watched it for, I don't know if it's still on. Is it still on? I don't know. But you watch something like Casualty, and you have people come in to the hospital, and, you know, they're dead or half dead or something, and do you know, what do? They put the things on and stand back, all clear, boom, you know. Do you know? And how do we raise the dead? Now, technically, if somebody's dead, even putting all that electricity into them is not going to make any difference. There's got to be something there. But how do we do it? You see, we use extraordinary amounts of power to do it. What is this power? What is this extraordinary power of God? That he can raise the dead. That he can bring life back where there is no life. He can start the heart beating again that had completely stopped and had been dead. Jesus died and is laid in the tomb, buried in the tomb on the Friday. And then the Saturday goes past, and then the Sunday morning, after the body has started to deteriorate, the cells have started to break down in the body of Jesus, this extraordinary love of God, this powerful love of God, does something extraordinary in Jesus. How does it work? I have no idea how it works. But isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? This non-coercive power of God's love. Number two, I note down, imaginative. Why is it imaginative? Well, because it has to dream up something that has not been, that it might be. Those people, you know, there are some of us with wild imaginations. And we all know those kind of people. They have, you know, half a dozen new ideas before breakfast. Their imagination is just sparking off all over the place. And they see a situation where something isn't, and they say, why not? You know, let's go for it. And I've got loads of ideas about how we can do this. When we look at somebody who's dead, and when we encounter the Lord Jesus, who is dead, our imagination fails us because we do not know how to raise the dead. All the power that we have ever accumulated in the world, we do not know how to raise the dead. We cannot do it. And God's love is so gloriously imaginative. God's love can see that which is not. And it says, well, why not? God's love is wonderfully, gloriously imaginative. God's resurrection love is creative. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, those early chapters of Genesis, where we have the story of creation, where those words are written, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They were not, of course, written when God created. We do know that, don't we? You know, there wasn't somebody there scribing. Millions of years later, people reflected. And they reflected upon how we had come into being. How is it that we are here right now? And you may know that in the ancient world, there were a number of creation stories about how the universe had been created. There are a number of different stories that were going around that you can probably go online and read them. But they were there. But the people of Israel, they wrote their story. And they said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And each of the parts of creation over those 6 days are created. And God said, let us create in our own image, male and female. Now, what is key about the story of creation as we have it in the Bible, as opposed to all the other stories, creation stories that the ancient civilizations had, it is the loving relationship that existed. God's creative power is about love, and it's about relationship. And that's what's going on right here in resurrection. When God raises Jesus from the dead, he is creating. It's about love, it's about relationship, and it is a beautiful and wonderful thing. So God's powerful resurrection love is, of course, creative. God has to create He has to create anew. He has to take that which is dead and create something new. And it is renewing. We know from the gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus that Jesus, as he is raised from the dead, he is raised bodily from the dead. And this is critical to understand, and we'll cover this, I don't know which week it is, when we talk about the body and the stuff of creation. It's very important for us to reflect on that. Jesus is raised bodily from the dead. Some people talk about resurrection as being a spiritual resurrection, that we go to heaven somehow spiritually without our bodies. That is not resurrection. It's not, at least, it's not the resurrection of Jesus. It is bodily. And as Jesus' body, he dies, he's buried, he lays in his tomb for at least 48 hours, the cells begin to break down in that body. Of course they do. And so what God has to do is to renew. He has to renew and renew and renew every broken down cell. But then God does something more. Because we know that the body of Jesus, even though, according to what the Gospels record for us, even though we know that the body of Jesus was bodily, it was somehow physical, it could be touched, Jesus could eat. And in that sense, it was just like ours. And we could say, well, what God did was to renew all that had been broken, all that had, you know, had died in Jesus, he'd renewed. And he was again back as he was. But we know that God does something more when he renews. And this is the power of his resurrection love. Because we know that Jesus could make himself present in a room where all the doors and shutters were locked. There was something extraordinary about the way that Jesus could be present with people that was somehow beyond what we know as the physical. And we can't get our head around that. But we know that's what they recorded, that's what they saw, and that's what they experienced. And so when God renews, he doesn't just renew to be as it was, he does something even better. And that's God's resurrection power at work. He renews not just back to where it was, but he takes us even further. And number five, the final thing here, it is the Father's love. It is the Father's love. And this is a good answer if anybody asks you, why did God raise Jesus from the dead? It's because God was his Father. And that's true. Why did he do it? You're my son. You're my son. And I love you. If you've got kids, have you ever, you know, I know kids are amazing in all sorts of ways, you know. But has your heart ever hurt out of love for your kids? Do you know? Mine has, for my kids. I love it. Sometimes I know that love so powerfully. It hurts. And I think, this is nuts. I'm feeling love physically. You know, I'm really feeling it. And we have to imagine, if I feel that as a mere human being, you know, as a bard among billions, if I feel that, how does God respond when his own son is dead? What happens in his heart? It is the Father loving his Son who raises Jesus. That's what it's about. And again, you know, just to comment on sometimes our hymns more than the scriptures, our hymns sometimes communicate to us that when Jesus died on the cross, the Father couldn't look upon Jesus. The idea that somehow when Jesus died on the cross, the Father turned away. How do we know that's not true? Would you turn away from your child as they died? Would you? You would not. And if we would not turn away from our children as they die, how much more will our Heavenly Father not turn away from his Son when he dies? And you can imagine the grief of the Father as Jesus dies. Why does he raise him? Because he loves him. And that is the power of the Father's love. It is here, then, that we have the power of God's love. This is where the resurrection reveals to us the immense, extraordinary power of God's love. And if we want to know what that love is like, we can meditate on the resurrection. I hope that's been helpful to you. Okay, let me just click this up, because you may have come up with questions, you may go away with questions and thoughts and reflections. Email me, send me something if you have questions. As I say, there may be aspects of what I've said that you just think that sounded good, but I'm not sure I quite got my head around it. I'm going to try and unpack it a bit more if I can. There might be things that I said and you think, well, what about this or that or the other? And you can ask me about that. But I trust that that has been helpful as we begin this reflection on the resurrection. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, again we thank you and we do give thanks to you, for your love endures forever. Father, thank you for the immensity of your great love. Father, thank you that at the heart of the resurrection is your extraordinary, wonderful, glorious love. Father, we pray that your love, your resurrection power might be at work within us, just as the scripture encourages us to understand and to see. May your resurrection power, this great love, be at work in us as we face our lives and the questions and the concerns, the doubts that we face, as we face the opportunities that are presented to us. May your great power be at work within us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.